Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It's April 1st, the first of the month, and for most of us, that means either the rent or the mortgage is due. And that's at a time when many of us have lost our incomes because of the coronavirus outbreak, social distancing, shuttering of non-essential businesses. That's what we're going to spend the show on today. We want to take your calls, offer you resources, let you know what's happening and available in the Commonwealth. I'll introduce you to our panel in the moment. I do want to tell you, later this hour, Governor Charlie Baker is scheduled to do a press briefing. We have been carrying those live, and if it does happen while Radio Boston is on air, we will break to bring you Governor Charlie Baker. But until then, let's talk about what it means to try to pay the rent or the mortgage right now. Are you worried about making rent? Did you? Or maybe you can't. How about your mortgage? Have you heard anything about whether or not there's going to be relief? Do you need aid? Call us. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or tweet us at Radio Boston. To help answer questions and point us to resources, joining us via Skype is Rachel Heller, CEO of the Citizens Housing and Planning Association. Rachel, welcome.
Thank you.
Also with us is Chris Norris, Executive Director of Metro Housing Boston, which helps administer rent assistance programs in the Boston area. Chris, I want to thank you for being with us, too.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, in this unusual time in which we live, let me just start by asking you both, how are you? Rachel, Chris, how you doing? Oh, my, Rachel. With that sigh, you have to go first.
Well, it's just a really hard time right now. I know that for so many people, to not be able to go into work, if you are able to hold on to your job and working from home, trying to take care of kids or family members, trying to pay the bills, it's just a really stressful time for people. You know, in the affordable housing world, we're all working around the clock trying to develop programs and policies that will help relieve the pressure for people and help people stay housed, help people stay safe.
Chris, how about you? How are you?
I agree. It's a very difficult and challenging time for everyone, but we're getting the job done. Obviously, our key priorities are the safety of our clients, the safety of our staff, and getting the work that needs to be done that's so vital for so many people accomplished.
So, Rachel, you talked about working 24/7. Chris, you just said getting the job done. Rachel, how has your work changed since the coronavirus outbreak and these social distancing policies?
Yeah, so before COVID-19, we were already experiencing real pain here in Massachusetts from high housing costs. You know, we, for a long time, incomes haven't been keeping pace with rents and home prices. Our population has grown, jobs have grown, and we haven't produced the homes that we need. So this has been impacting people across income levels, and it's hit people with the lowest incomes the hardest. As it is, despite a lot of investment in really great affordable housing programs and homelessness prevention programs, the state is still serving double the number of families in the family shelter system since before the recession. So then along comes a pandemic, and now every need has exploded. So it's, you know, the work has only intensified. I would say, you know, to go along with what Chris said, people are really coming together and have the best interest, really want to help people stay housed, want people to be safe. And so the work is now entirely in crisis mode, while we also need to keep our eye on the ball and make sure that when we come out of this, we're still on track to produce more of the homes that we need.
I want to put the number out again just real quickly, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Rachel and Chris know the resources. They know the state policy changes. If you have questions, if you need to know where to go for assistance, you can call us. Chris, you were about to say something.
I was just going to say we've seen, obviously, a dramatic increase. You know, last week, the governor announced $5 million more dollars in funding for a program that helps prevent people from becoming homeless. And just since that day, we went from about 20 applications a day to 300 since his most recent announcement.
300 a day?
No, 300 in the last 5 days.
Okay, so a lot.
Yeah, more than double what we were seeing before.
And is it a difficult application, Chris?
It is not. It is relatively simple. It's available online. It's available statewide. If folks go to masshousinginfo.org, click on their community, the administering organization for their region will come up. Many people are eligible. If you're an individual, if you're an elder, if you're a family with children, all folks are potentially eligible to access the resource.
So, Rachel, let's back up for a minute. There have been some new resources put in place for both mortgage payers and rent payers. Can you kind of talk us through what new resources are available?
Yes. Well, just last Friday, Congress passed and the president signed the CARES Act, and that puts into place protections for renters and homeowners. In addition, federal agencies have also put out guidance. So right now, there's a 120-day moratorium for renters in particular types of affordable housing from being evicted. So that means if a person is living in an apartment that is under covered housing program that's defined in the bill, then they cannot be evicted during this time. So that includes federal public housing, Section 8 Housing Choice Voucher Program. There's a lot of different programs. So it's some really good protections. In addition...
So, Rachel, actually, I'm just going to stop there and ask you a follow-up question, then you sure. can go on. It sounds like it might be easier to ask you, what form of affordable housing is not covered under these protections?
Right. So... the federal government covers federal programs. The state has put out guidance for state programs, and the city has been working hard, City of Boston, with many owners of affordable housing to make a voluntary commitment, which they have, to not evict. So it is a challenging roadmap to work out, but people who are not in housing that is assisted by, is backed by the federal government or funded by the state, there right now are not necessarily protections in place. And there is legislation that is going through the State House now that works to provide eviction protections and foreclosure protections for more people across Massachusetts.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me let you now go ahead and finish your list of resources.
Well, there's a whole lot. Actually, what we could do is either refer people to website, which lists them all out, or I can go ahead and list them. But they're, just to give a few more that might be helpful.
Yeah, a couple of key highlights. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. So I said the low-income housing tax credit units, federal public housing, Section 8 housing, 202 supportive housing for elderly, and also supportive housing for people with disabilities. And here in the state, there's also guidance for state public housing as well. And so that provides additional protections for people who are renting in state public housing.
So, Chris, I've got a question that came in on Twitter. I think you might be the one to answer it, so I'm going to try here. We've got Sarah Markham tweeted and said, I've been calling my state reps, and all I hear is they are holding off on evictions, but only until things open back up, and we'll be slammed with months of rent at once, and then we'll be evicted. What can we do to actually get relief? $1,200 doesn't pay rent in Boston.
Sure. I think this is something that is confusing and frustrating for many people and scary right now. The courts are currently closed, so evictions are not proceeding. We have the potential state law around the moratorium for evictions and foreclosures that we will hopefully see final action on very soon. But the caller listener is exactly right. What happens after that? And that's where communicating with your owner, staying in touch with the landlord, paying the rent if you can, is the first step. And for those that can't, to reach out and to access those programs that are available, such as the state's Residential Assistance for Families in Transition program.
Can you talk a little bit? I know that's the long version. The short version, I think, is called RAFT, right, Chris?
Exactly. It's called RAFT, and it's a statewide program that provides up to $4,000 to prevent evictions or foreclosures. It's very flexible. It can be used for back rent. It can be used for utility arrearages. It can be used for mortgage payments, just about anything that will keep someone stably housed and help them from becoming homeless or losing their home.
Now, Chris, you said a minute ago that the courts are closed and people aren't being evicted. Rachel, is there anyone who actively could be evicted right now, any sort of class or category of renter or mortgage holder who could be evicted right now?
There are some cases that can move forward through the courts, but for the most part, non-essential evictions aren't happening. If it's a health and safety reason or another reason, it is possible that proceedings can continue at this time. But the courts being closed essentially through the 21st provides some relief for most people.
And through the 21st of?
April.
Okay. I'd like to, if I can ask you two to hang on a second, I want to bring another voice in here. Lisa Owens is Executive Director of City Life, Vita Urbana. Lisa, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Tiziana.
So I understand your organization is maintaining an emergency eviction and foreclosure hotline in both English and Spanish. How many calls are you getting and what are you hearing on that hotline?
So we opened our emergency hotline in English and Spanish last week, and as of now, we've received 210 calls. And just by way of context, typically we see between 10 and 20 people per week coming into our weekly meetings. And so this number of people, as you can imagine, folks are calling because they are terrified about what is going to happen April 1st, and then for some folks, May 1st. And what we're hearing is a lot of frustration, a lot of fear about what's going to happen to them if they can't pay the rent, a lot of anger that it's taking lawmakers so long to reach a solution. And I actually do just want to say that although the housing court order did stop evictions for many people in the Commonwealth, we're actually seeing folks, particularly people who are both calling our hotline in the Greater Boston area, and also we're hearing from our partners in Lynn and in Western Mass that tenants and homeowners across the state are still actually in danger of eviction and also homeowners from non-judicial foreclosures. So just to give you a sample, since March 16th, there have been 481 new eviction filings across the state, right? So that was after the state of emergency. We're seeing lenders, so banks and mortgage servicers, and also corporate landlords sending confusing notices to tenants and homeowners that leave them afraid about whether or not they can actually be put out in the street.
Lisa, I'm so sorry to interrupt you there, but we're going to have to go to a break in a minute. And to that point, I did want to ask you, my understanding is a resource that you guys have available is a draft letter that people can use. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So for tenants and homeowners, you can go to City Life's website, CLVU, City Life, Vita Urbana, clvu.org/COVID-19, and you can download a template of a letter that you can send to your mortgage lender or your landlord if you are having a hard time paying the rent.
Great. Lisa Owens, I want to thank you so much, Executive Director of City Life Vita Urbana. Thanks for joining us. So, Rachel and Chris, I want to come back to you. Lisa gave us some startling numbers there of procedures already, you know, going into place after March 16th. What's your reaction to that?
It's definitely challenging and confusing for people and really hard for people who are experiencing this right now. And that's why the legislature is working on a couple of bills. The Senate looks like they could be voting this week on a bill. The House has drafted legislation as well, all trying to expand protections. The thing about the bills is there's a few things that we really need to do right now. We need to make sure that people can stay in their homes. If they've got homes, we need to do that. So yes, we should be stopping evictions that are not related to health and safety. And at the same time, that needs to be coupled with resources to pay the rent, pay the mortgage, make sure that the properties where people are living in can continue to be operated and continue to be healthy as well. So I think it's a lot right now that the legislature is very quickly trying to get their heads around and move policies that will be helpful. And I think it's just a really, really challenging time in terms of people even being able to get to the state house to do their work. So people should call their legislators and ask them to move it.
Got Rachel Heller and Chris Norris with us. There's more ahead. And it is the first of the month, and today our focus on Radio Boston is taking your calls about paying rent, mortgage, property taxes during the coronavirus crisis. I do want to give everyone a heads up. Earlier this morning, we found out that Governor Charlie Baker will be holding a press briefing. It is scheduled for sometime later this hour. If and when that happens, we will go to it live. But in the meantime, our panelists are still with us. On Skype is Rachel Heller, CEO of Citizens Housing and Planning Association. We also have on the line Chris Norris, Executive Director of Metro Housing Boston, which helps administer rent assistance programs here in the area. We've got some callers waiting on the line. We want to hear from you, too. What are your questions? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And Chris, just before the break, you had wanted to say something, and I had to break away for a minute. So let me come back and let you pick up.
Sure, not a problem. Really, I think it's a very simple message for tenants, and that is, in Massachusetts, a tenant can't be evicted without a court order. So especially right now, and given the circumstances and things everyone is up against, tenants should wait for their day in court when they can raise their any defenses they have available, or perhaps even cobble together between now and then the resources to cure any rental delinquency if they're able to do so. But the simple message is you can't be evicted without a court order.
And Chris, for those who might not have been tuning in at the beginning of the hour, you did tell us those courts are closed right now, correct?
Exactly.
All right, let's
except for the emergency circumstances that Rachel talked about, health, safety, some of those.
Okay, let's take a quick call here from Isaac in Lynn. Isaac, you're on with our panelists. Go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I'm a community organizer in Lynn, and I've been hearing from tenants as well as homeowners the amount of fear and confusion around this issue is tremendous. I heard last week from a gentleman who got an order notifying him that his eviction case had been delayed due to coronavirus, and the new court date was scheduled for next week when the court is going to be closed. So there's a ton of confusion. I heard from a woman who works at Market Basket and McDonald's who's terrified of missing rent because her hours are cut and her roommate's hours are cut, and she doesn't know what to do. She's worried about her kids. She's worried she's going to be thrown on the street. So what we really need, I think, is clarity. We need a clear message from our state government that evictions will be stopped, period, because right now there are landlords who have executions, who have permission to evict from prior to the coronavirus crisis, who could go ahead and levy and actually throw people on the street today. Could I just quickly clarify? I'm sorry. There is a bill in the state house that was filed in the house by Representatives Connolly and Honan, which would shut the door on that and send a clear message that no, evictions are not allowed. We got disturbing news earlier today that a Senate version of the bill has enormous loopholes that would actually permit no-cause evictions or no-fault evictions during the crisis.
Okay,
so really need clarity.
Good. And that clarity point is important. We haven't done reporting yet here at WBUR on the Senate side of that bill, so I can't comment to that either way. But Rachel and Chris, in a minute, I'm going to bring a landlord perspective in as well. But Rachel, let me give you a chance to react to Isaac and that plea on behalf of the people he's working with for clarity.
I agree with Isaac. Clarity is needed. There are so many voluntary efforts right now, guidance from the state and the federal government that protects certain, you know, renters in certain buildings and homeowners with certain kinds of loans. And it is confusing. And I will put out our website, chapa.org. We do have a COVID-19 page that is trying to make sense of this for people and point them in the right direction. And moving the legislation is critical at the state level to provide that clarity.
Let's bring another voice in here. I want to bring in the landlord perspective as well. So waiting on the line is Doug Quattrocci. He is the executive director of Mass Landlords, which is a trade group representing landlords in the state. Doug, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks very much, Tiziana, and hello, Rachel and Chris.
Hey, Doug.
Good to know you guys know each other. So, Doug, let's have your voice come in here, too. What are you hearing from landlords in your association?
Well, like Isaac said, our caller, there's a lot of panic and lack of clarity. We're trying with our coronavirus resource page on our site to help make it clear what's going on. And it is clear that there's loopholes, especially for not just renters, but mom-and-pop landlords. There are 70,000 small business landlords in Massachusetts that rely on rents to operate, and they're often retirees. You know, they've plunked their entire retirement savings into their buildings, and if they don't get rent at all, then they cannot afford their own food and medication. And although the federal relief is very encouraging for a lot of folks, there's a lot of gaps there. Schedule E earners don't seem to be covered, so landlords are not going to be able to get unemployment, it looks like. And although there is that federal eviction moratorium, which looks quite comprehensive in our perspective, there's no recognition of what's going to happen if someone has a commercial mortgage, and it's very common if they've got five units or more. They're not getting mortgage relief currently.
Right.
So there's equal concern. Go ahead.
So, Doug, what's your advice to people who are, you know, you're talking about small property owners. What is your advice to people who are worried about their tenants not being able to pay rent and therefore them not being able to pay bills associated with property ownership?
Well, it's two levels of advice. First level advice is our first priority has to be stopping and containing the virus. That means social distancing. It means don't encourage your renters to go to work. Encourage them to stay at home unless they're essential or they can work from home. So I think public health is clearly the number one priority here. Number two, we have to have communication, and renters and landlords need to talk to one another to understand each other's situation. It may be the case that there are enough people working from home in a building to help float essential repairs, like we're seeing drain lines clogged with sanitary wipes because people have run out of toilet paper. You've got to let your landlord know if you're running short on supplies, food or toilet paper or whatever it is, because odds are good between neighbors and other residents. We can solve those problems together, same as we can solve lack of ability to pay rent. But if we don't communicate, then we can't make a plan.
All right. So, Doug, hang on. I'm going to bring a caller in who I think has a question for the landlord side of this dilemma. 1-800-423-8255. Jeanette is on the line from Canton. Jeanette, go ahead.
Hi, Christiana. Thank you for taking my call. Do they have a program for the landlord? Because we cannot evict the tenants, but at the same time, we have to pay the bank. We have to pay the mortgage. So what kind of a program they have for the landlord?
Great question, Jeanette. And I'll open it to all three of you, Doug, Rachel, Chris, whoever's got resources you might be able to steer Jeanette toward, that would be terrific.
Okay. I'll go first. Jeanette, the CARES Act has established mortgage forgiveness or forbearance for a whole bunch of mortgages insured, or the actual wording is in any way assisted by a federal agency. We view that to be pretty expansive language, so there's a fair chance that your mortgage is not actually due the way you think it is. You should call your bank, and there's a procedure you have to call, and you have to affirmatively state that you're impacted and so on, but you might have mortgage relief and not realize it at this point. And then the second level of that is, especially what was mentioned earlier, what happens after an eviction moratorium ends and we still haven't got rent payments, are we now going to evict everybody? And that's not the right answer. And so that's why we're advocating for long-term surety. We'd like the Commonwealth to guarantee existing rental housing for everyone so that there's no pressure to evict after the official emergency ends. That's our take on it. You might already have relief, and then there is more policy work that needs to happen.
Rachel and
Anyone
Chris,
else?
Yeah, let me bring Rachel and Chris in there, especially because Doug's introduced some new policy ideas there as well. So reactions, other thoughts, et cetera.
Yeah, I agree.
Sure.
I agree with Doug on the number one thing that anybody should do, whether it's your own home that you own or you're renting out homes, contact your lender. Call your lender and try to, explain the situation. You might already have some rights that can help you through this time. And Doug and also the caller raise a good point. When we're working on an eviction moratorium, it doesn't mean the rent isn't going to be paid. We need to help the renters be able to pay that rent at the end. That's where programs like RAFT come in. We should also be looking at additional policies that will help the owners continue to operate these properties, pay their mortgage, pay their property taxes. The two really do go hand in hand. And then I would just say there are also small business loans that small property owners may be eligible for. Both the state and the federal government have new programs for small business owners. So depending on how the landlord is set up, there could be some additional relief.
So, Chris, this time I want to get you in before the break, which we're going to go to in a little less than 2 minutes. So let me give you a chance to react and share some thoughts on this, too.
Sure. Just that if all of those items that Rachel and Doug talked about failed, there's still these programs that we've been talking about in terms of preventing homelessness or paying rental arrears include owners, particularly the small owners who may be operating on a shoestring. You know, this is their sole investment. They're, you know, they can be eligible for assistance too. It's not just, we work with 4,400 owners across our region in Metro Boston. And so don't assume that things are only available for tenants.
All right. We are going to keep Rachel and Chris through the next break, but Doug Quattrocci, we're going to say goodbye to you in just a minute. So in the next 30 seconds or so, other thoughts, any last thoughts you want to share from the perspective of small landlords during this unprecedented moment?
Sure. I mean, our perspective is definitely that we're in this together, and we have to communicate with one another to get through it. And number one priority should be, you know, social distancing and not going to work. So I think that's definitely the most important. I would say it's really definitely going to be critical that we continue to develop policy together.
All
because
right.
The eviction moratorium is not the all end all.
Doug Quattrocci, Executive Director of Mass Landlords, we appreciate you joining us.
Thank you very much.
Chris Norris and Rachel Heller, I hope you can stay with us through the next break. We'll continue to talk about rent and mortgage on the first of the month after the break. We are doing two things this hour on Radio Boston. The first is taking your calls and talking with panelists about housing. For many of us, it's the first time rent or mortgage is due since the coronavirus crisis hit Massachusetts. Renters, owners, landlords are trying to figure out how to keep up. Still with us is on Skype is Rachel Heller, CEO of Citizens Housing and Planning Association, and Chris Norris, Executive Director of Metro Housing Boston. The other thing we're doing is standing by for live coverage of Governor Charlie Baker's daily press briefing. I want to say in advance, I apologize to guests and callers alike. When that comes along, we are going to go to it. I may not get to properly say goodbye, but we're going to get as much in the meantime as we can. So call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Rachel and Chris, shall we go straight to some calls?
Yes.
Sure.
Great. So we've got Sandra on the line in Cambridge. Sandra, you are on with Rachel Heller and Chris Norris. Go ahead.
Hi. Well, I am a graduating student. I graduated in May, an architecture student. And my question is in regards to when the landlord is a private university and they're not allowing us to stay a little bit longer in our apartments. In my particular case, one of my roommates vacated early because of the coronavirus. So one good thing they have done is allowing for us to pay just our part of the rent until the end of the lease. But because the end of the lease coincides with graduation, and because architecture firms are not hiring at the moment, we are. In regular times, we would get hired right after graduation. We would start a new lease elsewhere, whether it's in the state of Massachusetts or elsewhere. In this particular case, they're not hiring. So what do we do when they reject
Sandra,
our petition to
remain? I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but we're going to go to the governor in a minute, and I want to try to get an answer for you quickly. So Rachel or Chris, just quick thoughts for Sandra before we go to the governor.
Chris, you may have more experience with this, and I'm really sorry.
I would say it's really going to depend. If you have a standard lease, that you would be covered by the regular laws here in the Commonwealth, like every other tenant. If there's something specific and it's not an actual lease and it's an agreement of some type with the university that is separate, then that's probably what's going to govern. That's one where I really think you're going to want some legal advice to look at it in more detail for the specific situation.
So let's stay with that for a second. Rachel Heller, are you aware of legal resources that people can turn to in this moment if they're not sure what their situation is or what steps they ought to take?
Yes, there are many legal service offices across the state, and so you may want to contact legal services. They are overwhelmed, I'm sure, with lots of people who have questions and need help right now. I would also look at our website, chapa.org. Feel free to email us or Chris, and we can help you find out some additional resources. And I'm really sorry. That's really stressful.
It is, because it does sound like Sandra could find herself in a situation where she can't stay where she is, but nobody else is going to let her lease either. Do we think, Chris, we're waiting to switch over to the governor now, but I want to get as much information in as we can. Is that a situation we're going to see a lot of as leases turn over the summer, especially in a student-rich environment like ours, Chris?
I think so, and I think that sort of begs the question going forward of, we have lots of pieces that are in place or coming together for the near future, but the longer term is still the unknown. And I think that's why we're working with CHAPA and others with the legislature to ensure that there are resources going forward beyond just the immediate situation right now, because this isn't something that's going to end on May 4th or like clockwork on a specific day. It's something that's going to be long-term and ongoing.
So just to let listeners know, we're talking with Chris Norris of Metro Housing Boston and Rachel Heller of Citizens Housing and Planning Association. We're going to stay on this as long as we can until we go to live coverage of Governor Baker. Rachel, I admit, when Chris just said, this is a longer term thing, I got tired in my bones for the thought of people who will be stressed about this for months. Where can the relief come from? Or is this just the way it's going to be?
I'm optimistic this is not the way it's going to be. I think that there's a lot of hope that we're seeing. I do think the bill that passed Congress last week and the president signed, with expansion of unemployment, much better benefits than have been available before, is a ray of hope. Seeing here in Massachusetts, where the governor very quickly responded and started issuing guidance to keep people housed if they're in state-funded affordable housing, seeing Mayor Walsh reach out to banks and get agreements around working with borrowers, having three-month loan deferments and working with the borrowers so that they can maintain the payments they have now after the deferment is over. So I'm seeing all of these efforts, seeing the homeless shelters work really hard to keep people safe and expand their capacity. We're just seeing a lot of effort everywhere. The legislature, is really working on figuring out some policies. We've heard them speak about moving legislation that will protect renters. And so I think there is hope. And you know what? When this is over, we are still working on all of the important policies we were working on before.
Chris, I love hearing Rachel, give that tone of, there are some things we can do. There's some paths here forward. I did want to ask you, the raft assistance that Governor Baker approved, you talked about, $4,000 in support. What's the total funding behind that, and how much of that have you paid out already?
Sure. There is about approximately $23 million statewide. I don't have the statewide number available right now in terms of what is remaining, but I know in Metro Boston we have approximately $2 million that's available, and we're working with CHAPA and other groups to request $50 million through any supplemental budget that the legislature may pass, recognizing that the need is ultimately going to far exceed what is available.
Okay, so I was going to go to another caller, but we just lost that caller. But I'm going to ask you the question that Anne from Needham was calling to ask, which, here's what she was saying. My lease is going to be up with a tenant. I don't feel comfortable renting to another tenant because that person may not be able to pay rent, and we're in uncertain times. But I also can't afford to keep my house if I don't have a renter. So I'm thinking about selling, but I'm not sure this is a good time to sell either. I think I captured what Anne had wanted to ask. Yet another rock and hard place. What kind of advice or guidance is there out there for people like Anne?
Sure. I think, we have many people across the state who have rental assistance that are looking for housing, right now, even as we speak. And with that voucher or rental assistance comes guaranteed payment. The tenant pays a portion of the rent, and then the administering organization pays the balance. So that may be a more secure.
Okay, Chris, I'm going to have to. I'm so sorry. I have to interrupt you there. Thank you so much.